Hi, I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. A friend of mine's daughter just had knee surgery, and I was talking to my friend on the phone, and she was telling me that she was trying to help this kid go to sleep, so she was laying down next to her. I mean, she's in high school, but you know when your kid feels sick, you're there for them. Well, this kid had a fan running, so there's a... And then she had her ice machine that her leg is in, and it's... And the kid won't sleep without white noise. And she doesn't listen to the river or the brook or the thunderstorm. She listens to static.
And the fan's not enough
so,
white
no,
noise?
So there's fan, okay. And there's... And then... And she was telling me that she was ready to rip off her own ears, and she didn't know how her... And her daughter was just out. Like... Not painkiller out, just out. She was so relaxed from all of the sound.
Wow, she's going to have to marry a guy who works in aeronautics and spends a lot of time in wind tunnels.
She's like, could you please take me to work so I can lay in the wind tunnel? It'll be so
relaxing. Well, today we're going to be talking about everything you never knew you wanted to know about the mysterious world of sounds.
The first sounds we're going to talk about are whistlers. Let's take a listen.
Okay. So that's the sound of lightning.
That is the sound of... This is so incredibly cool. Okay, so lightning gets trapped in the magnetic field of the Earth. And what you're hearing is it's traveling from one hemisphere to the other.
Oh.
As it so that woo sound... is the higher frequencies travel faster than the lower ones. Thank you, University of Iowa Physics Department.
Yeah.
And the sound wave has a whistling tone, and that's where we get the name whistler.
Wow, that is amazing. I wonder if it sounds like that if you get struck with lightning, that's what you hear right before it strikes. Or does it change when it enters our atmosphere, or are those in our atmosphere sounds?
Those are in our atmosphere. So lightning comes down, but some lightning is also just
shooting around.
Around, and that's that whistling sound.
That would be super eerie.
Yes. Craig Klitzig, the physics professor at University of Iowa, his wife said that it sounded like alien birds.
Yes. Oh, that's a great description.
Right?
Yes.
It's extremely creepy. Okay. So then
How do you think he captured those sounds? How do you get lightning sounds?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Head of the class. There are two probes. NASA's Van Allen probes are robotic crafts that are orbiting the Earth, and they're monitoring charged particles and radio waves. So it's basically like we put a radio in space and we're just catching all those sounds.
I am equal parts thinking that's awesome and disappointing because I'd kind of envisioned him like a storm chaser and he's got a red Dodge pickup and he's chasing storms with Helen Hunt and no, not. Sorry, team.
Nope.
He's probably wearing a lab coat or no storm chaser.
I don't know. The articles that I've read where he's been quoted, he sounds like a pretty cool guy. So maybe if he's not chasing the radio waves, he's got like a cool hat.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
Okay.
Bucket hat with fish lures on it. What's a cool hat?
A cool hat would be, I'm thinking
completely
like.
Completely derailed us from sounds,
folks. I'm thinking like Indiana Jones hat.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm back on board.
It never comes off. We're going to talk about a chorus of radio waves in, well, we're not talking about it. We're going to listen to a chorus of radio waves in Earth's atmosphere. So what do you think of the Earth chirping birds?
That is crazy. It sounds like something from a Disney film, like he's making flubber, and the sound, or aliens are coming, but they're not scary aliens. They're nice aliens from a 50s film.
Little floofy aliens coming along.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those
are crazy.
I know. And those are just the electrical and magnetic fields all being disturbed. And our atmosphere is protecting us from a lot of that. And what we're hearing is all of it just kind of waving around the Earth and we're catching the edge of it. And what's cool, I have more planet sounds on the website because every single planet, Saturn, Jupiter, the whole lot of them have a different signature.
Really?
So Saturn sounds different from the Earth, and Jupiter, which I'm still trying to find a sound file for, sounds like people dropping pebbles on a metal roof.
And that's the sound of Jupiter?
That's the sound of Jupiter.
I would normally chime in with snarky comments here, but I think this is actually quite interesting. So I'm just listening. That is just amazing. So you could hear those audibly with your human ears?
Well,
or is that one that they have to...
No, some of these, they're slowed down or they're picking up the radio frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
If you were out in space, well, like he said, if your radio had ears, you would hear it.
Okay.
So if you were a radio receiver, then yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk about some noises that our human ears can hear, or do you have more fun?
Oh, no. I want to hear about stuff that happens inside the human body.
Oh, yeah. Because I have, I'm going to be talking about stomach gurgles now because we love them. I love them. Not in a staff meeting or that sort of thing, but the topic of stomach gurgles is quite interesting. And you kind of have to talk about how the stomach works. We know food goes in, acid comes in, digestion occurs.
Unless you're the platypus.
Right. And it goes right on through platypus, not burdened by stomach gurgles. Although I would think there are some digestive gurgles.
But that's true.
Let's talk about how your stomach digests and how it functions and what its cycle is. The stomach has, this is something I didn't, I know it needs to move around and contract and squish things in.
Right.
And it has, if you look at a picture, which we have on our website, there are muscly ridges called rugae. There are many pronunciations. And so that was probably right for one of them. But there's a lady on the internet who says several of them. Pick which one you like.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they are ridges and they look sort of like a brain. So when they are not working and when your stomach is empty, they kind of squish together. When your stomach has contents, it starts expanding and those ridges can have more room. But when your stomach is empty, it sort of collapses down smaller. It's not completely like a flat sack or a flat balloon, but it's also not like a milk gallon, whether there's milk in there or not.
Well, that makes sense.
Somewhere in the middle,
it would sag. I mean, because you still have acid and stuff in there and bacteria doing all that kind of stuff. So
exactly. And that's where we come into stomach gurgles. First of all, your stomach's natural cycle of digestion. Every 3 to 4 hours, it's going to pump in some enzymes and some acid. That's just its cycle. It just does that because you're going to eat again.
Like a washing machine.
Yeah. And I'm also going to start talking about crispy French fries and delicious pizza with crispy pepperoni on it and a nice bowl of ice cream. And if you're listening to that and you're actually thinking about the food, your stomach may be pumping in acid and enzymes now.
You just made me hungry.
Yeah. So your body will start filling that stomach with acid and enzymes when it thinks it's going to get food. And if you have a problem like IBS or Crohn's disease or some of those digestive problems, your body does all kinds of unexpected things with acid.
Mm.
So you have acid and liquids coming into your stomach. Those liquids are doing the breaking down of the food. You have air coming in. And so as the stomach contents change texture, that air moves around, it bubbles. That's where the gurgles come from.
You know, I think my favorite part is the weird little burpy noises that it makes. Chaz, we say that he has stomach gnomes because when he has eaten really spicy food, it sounds like there's a guy in there going dunk, 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 dunk upstairs. And then he goes... slam, and the door slams, and then they sound like they're going downstairs. It's hilarious.
A lot of the introduction of air into the process is what makes those noises, and the consumption of fibrous things definitely impacts that air volume. You can also, I've heard if you're chomping gum that you are more likely to be introducing air into your system, but that soluble fiber, the insoluble doesn't create as much air, but that soluble fiber, your body breaks it down. And so that process creates air. And so that air blobs up through the various textures of digested.
Do our little bacteria friends that we have along for the ride, I mean, they're farting out gases too, right? I mean, they're making, what, hydrogen sulfide and all these other fun things.
Good things, yes.
And then that's, of course, some of that is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Also a sound.
There are many sounds of digestion and they're completely normal. Every website I read said, if you're having an exceptional amount of stomach noise, you should definitely see your doctor.
Oh, okay.
So if you're having it frequently, like outside of that 3 to 4 hour cycle and outside of normal eating pattern, let's go see your doctor. Actually, let's not. You go. I'm not coming.
No, I don't want to hold anybody's hand while they talk about that.
Nope.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, stomach... We're just going to go from stomachs and we're going to switch right over to something completely different because this is sounds and the sounds are all over the place. So the next thing we're going to talk about is rats laughing.
I wanted to make a smooth transition joke.
Oh, you need a smooth transition? Okay,
yeah,
so let's
about
think
digestion
about
and smooth let's transitions. See. I feel like there's
one
there.
Oh, God.
like the Doxodan commercial, Sir as the Sun Rises. There's definitely a transition joke here, but
I think you just made it.
Yeah, listeners, you can think about that on your own if you didn't like mine.
Oh, no. Okay,
rats.
Well,
let's talk about rats.
I'm going to slide right into rats. Researcher Jack Panksepp, he was using rats because they're our most common lab animal, and he got it into his head one day. He wondered if they might have some form of social joy experience, which is scientist for laughter.
Okay.
So they took young rats and they flip them on their back and they tickle them. Let's listen to some rat laughing. You know, they bring their crate out and they know it's playtime. They start getting excited when it's coming. And we've got a video on the website. And you see the rat, they use their hand and they stick their hand in, and the rat like chases the hand.
Oh.
And they flip the rat over and go underneath the armpits, and the rat is making sounds. Now, we can't hear these sounds because they are at an extremely high frequency. They use a machine to quiet it down enough or modify it so that we can actually hear it. So if they put two young rats together, they will tumble and wrestle and they play bite and they laugh.
Make those happy sounds?
Yep, they laugh the whole time. And then if somebody gets too rough, then the laughing immediately stops. And they might have a real fight. But it's there's a clear difference between, hey, we're having fun sounds and we're not playing anymore. We're going to go from laughing to the language of love.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about the wolf spider and purring. Okay, now
that's not where I thought we were going.
I know, right? I'm not a huge spider fan. Mm-hmm. And we've already talked about on the animal episode, the Goliath spider.
Yes.
And I've had several people ask me, why are we talking about them? Please stop talking about them. And I will soon. But
I make no promises.
This is so cool. It's not really a purr. It's a vibration. Well, let's listen to the vibration and then we'll talk about it.
Aww.
So it's kind of this scrape, scrape, and then bip, 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 bip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is going on there is the male spider has two little leg-like appendages near its mouth. Mm-hmm. They're called pedipalps. Which is my new favorite word.
That is such a good word.
Does it sound like a girl band? And now the pedipalps.
Ooh.
Yeah. they rub these little pedipalps together, which creates those vibrations.
Okay.
And that does make a sound. It's audible. But it's thought that spiders can't hear. So the way he has to play he purrs for her is he will stand on a leaf.
Uh-huh.
It's like a dead one.
Yeah.
And then if she's also standing on the leaf, he's like doing a little acoustic musical thing for her, and she can feel the vibrations in the leaf.
So any sound is just
it's just a side effect.
Extra. Okay.
Yeah. So when he's rubbing them, it makes his body vibrate and it gives it that brup, brup, brup sound that he does. Yeah.
Okay.
And considering that a lot of female spiders try to eat the male spider, I think that the musical way, I mean, a lot of spiders, they just like sneak up on her.
Yeah.
This guy, he's
giving her a little warning.
He is. He's bringing it. He's like, look, listen to me, baby. You know, I got
hey,
the tunes for you. Yeah.
The Goliath bird eating spider, not great vision. So it's important to announce your presence.
Right.
I'm a friendly.
Yeah.
I'm
so
very friendly.
Little wolf spider. He's just making cool music for his lady.
I really love that.
I do too. See, this
That's
is why
so sweet.
I was like, oh, wolf spider. And then I click on the YouTube thing, which we'll have on the website, and there's a giant picture of the spider looking right at you, and I'm having a little trouble with that, but the sound.
Yeah, that's neat. I love that.
I do too. Let's play it again.
Okay.
We thought, with all the animals making sounds and with the universe making sounds, we needed to make some sounds, and Amy came up with the best idea ever.
I adore, and I haven't listened to a lot of them, but old-fashioned radio shows where they do the sound effects on the show, and those are so wonderful. And so we have crafted a little radio show for you, but we want to tell you a little bit about the history. There's not a ton, because it is as you would think it is. As radio developed in the 1920s, they would have stories because it's not TV yet, but they would want to have different.
What? TV hasn't been around forever?
No, it's hard to believe. So radio shows introduced in the 1920s, and as they broadened their content just from basic programming into fiction, they also realized you could broaden the story by bringing in a sound effect. And so initially, that was just the guy reading the story, and whoever was around, the sound guy, the reader would say, okay, make me some feet noises, or this was not a paid job at all. It wasn't a very thought out. Originally, there not a lot of realism obtained through the sound effects, and not a paid job at all. It was the extra guy.
Really?
Using whatever. Not at first, because it was a very like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had some footsteps, if the door creaked?
Yeah.
So, but then as they be popularized and it became, you might be the recognized host, and there was some more, maybe competition came in, and they had that, as that developed naturally, positions became paid and it broadened. And so then there might be two or three people doing sound effects. So they became much more precise and more sounded like what they intended to. It is interesting, that power of suggestion, that if you tell somebody a story about a guy walking into a room, your brain is likely to accept that the sound that they're hearing is walking into a room, but you might play it for somebody else with no context and they'd be like, I don't know what that is, or they wouldn't describe it as walking into a room.
Right. I think the other thing that I have huge respect for now, because we went through and did the sound effects mm-hmm. beforehand and then recorded the story and then mm-hmm. mixed it together, is that they were in a live show doing these sounds real time.
Yes.
And you know, you and I are like, okay, how do we make this sound, and who's going to hold the microphone, and
yeah,
you know, it took us at least 30 minutes to record mm-hmm. maybe 10 or 15 sounds, and they yeah. had to be doing it, you know, Bob walks up and then, you know, the door sound and then the shoe sound, and it yeah. all had to be right in there.
Yeah, and no banging the microphone like
yeah, no,
I do.
No bumping the stand. I'm a huge fan of that.
Very smooth. And you still, if you listen to the Prairie Home Companion, there's a guy who does...
Yes!
He does mostly vocal sound effects, I think, but that's still a fun modern example of this. So our show's going to be just like that. Listen up.
Listen and enjoy.
And now, for the first time ever, we bring you Skating on Thin Ice, a tale of near death and a daring rescue.
What a tale I have for you, my dearest brain junkie. I'm sitting by the fire, finally getting warm again. I was out for a walk through our favorite woods, enjoying the rain. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the temperature dropped and it started to snow. It froze my toes clean through. I was almost home when I slipped and went skating across some ice. I fell through! Icy cold stabbed me from all sides! But I was saved by a dog. She pulled me from the freezing water with her teeth. Thank you, girl, thank you! I gave her frozen head a pat and she ran away. So here I am, huddled up in my blankets, writing you a letter and so thankful for the fire. I can't wait for summer when we can sit on the warm grass and enjoy the sunshine together.
Thank you. Thank you. Taking a bow.
Yes.
That is our one, first, and only dramatic reading.
I don't know. I feel pretty dramatic a lot of the time here. I may not be reading it, though.
Oh, man. Hey, before we go, we yep. want to say congratulations to our scrunchie winners that we
Woo!
Announced. Yeah, winners on the bookshelf episode. If you missed that contest, never fear, we're going to be giving away 10 amazing laptop stickers to our brain junkies when we pass 1,000 listens.
How do you enter? Pop on over to iTunes to rate and review us. Make sure you leave a social media handle or your email. Please don't leave your address or your phone number. I'll have my mom call. She yeah. might send you a letter.
Oh, with a newspaper clipping.
Yes, she's definitely going to send you newspaper clippings on how to make sure your drains are clear.
Ugh. Yeah. So important.
Yes, she's looking out for you and me. Lucky winners will be selected randomly and announced on our podcast. Remember, rate and review us on iTunes soon. Bonus points if you follow us on Facebook or Instagram.
Please come visit us at brainjunkpodcast.com. We'll have pictures and more notes for you. Lots of sound files from space, from NASA. Thank you, NASA. Oh, and we're also going to have a whole bunch of examples of ways you can make your own radio sounds.
Yes.
For this and other wonderful episodes, look for Brain Junk wherever you find your podcast. podcasts like iTunes and Google Play Store.
We tweet at MyBrainJunk, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at BrainJunk Podcast. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know, and I guarantee you will not be bored.